practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is, native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on, or may be visiting. Thank you. Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
What they told me, right. I just ride with my OG,
yeah.
Did a deal with Adobe, gold ring around the rosy, roll a window down slowly,
yeah.
Let them know that he owe me,
yes.
They call me the one and only,
one.
Hard times just mold me, como de garçon cozy,
yeah.
No Philly with a hoagie, treat the fans like homies,
Queen.
Give a tip to Tom Mosley,
yeah.
Keep it clean like Sobe, turtleneck try to choke me,
ooh.
Too sharp can't poke me, I was act like Cody. Feet white like Jordy, teeth white like Joey. Ever since we lost Kobe, I've been ballin' on my lonely. Horsepower, that's a pony. Do it big, Mick Foley. Phone dead if you phony. My phone dead, you can't phone.
They all upset, cause I'm a threat. You wanna bet, coming up next. I work so hard, not tearing sweat. I work so hard, not tearing sweat.
Don't even play on the playground. So if you don't know me, don't play around.
No.
To me, you're like, I just don't lay down.
Lay.
I made a move on the ground.
Damn.
Back once I made was with stay down.
Go.
I gained some weight, it's like 8 pounds.
Ooh.
Big wag, I'm getting the cake now.
Big
wag, I like one my cake pound. Most of the systems for breakdown.
Yeah.
I can die on any day now.
Yes.
You can die on any day now.
Rest.
We can die on any day now. Don't take it for granted, my bucket has slanted. I like when you panic, I'm not so romantic. My food is organic, I move just like Michael. I'm looking like Janet, you know I love damn it.
Cause I'm a threat. You wanna bet? Coming up next. I work so hard. Blood, tear, and sweat. I work so hard. Blood, tear, and sweat. They all upset. Cause I'm a threat. You wanna bet? Coming up next. I work so hard, blood, tear, and sweat. I work so hard, blood, tear, and sweat.
You are tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, if you're in for a treat, and we are here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland from CITR. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh territories. And if you've never tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9. Listen, you're in for a treat for the next hour. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We are going to talk about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in Canada, what's going on here in the world. Just kind of what's going on. Like, you're going to talk about me a little bit. Maybe this is your first time listening to CITR. Maybe you're just riding around. Maybe you're driving, I don't know, maybe DoorDash or Uber, and you got tired of listening to your music. You just got tired of listening to the radio. You want to tune in to CITR. You're like, what do they got going on local stations? Listen. Oh, well, you tuned into the right place. And before we kind of get started, you should tell a friend to tune in, because, listen, we've been doing this every Tuesday for some time now. And, it is, for me, one, CITR, I know we talk about this all the time, CITR is a special place. But not only that, it is, I've been doing a little bit of reflecting, I feel like, in the past few months, as I have, this is not unique to myself, but we can get so sometimes, also sometimes the show, we like to talk about, we talk about philosophy, we talk about business, we talk about, I try not to talk about marketing because I try to think about it all day, but I think that it is so intrinsically kind of, I say one of the things. Okay, so you can call in the number, call into the radio station at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, you can call in and say whatever you'd like, but I would also like you to call in because this is a conversation between me and you. I like to keep the show as if you were sitting on my couch. And I haven't been smoking as much weed as I used to smoke, but I feel like, for me, when I first started to create the show, it was really a conversation between me and my friends, because one of the things that we like to do is, you get high and you talk about things that you've read or things that you've watched or things that you've listened to, some type of conspiracy theory. And I find that when I started the show in 2016, there wasn't so much, not everybody had access to a mic, and I definitely think that there's too much access to mics. When you think about, there's only 24 hours in a day, right? People only have 24 hours in a day. There's only but so much content that people can physically listen to. I, one, see people's podcasts. I see people's radio shows. I see, and everybody has something to say. And when I started the show, it didn't really exist. And I was smoking a lot more weed and just hanging out with a lot more friends and talking a lot of shit. And if my friends know that I am a talker and they like to listen, and so they do me a favor. So one of the things that I have is my friends are not afraid to call me out when I say something stupid or when I say something, that sounds ridiculous, or when I am working on something, which is particularly in this format, working on trying to cut out the you-knows and the ums and trying to really focus on kind of how I'm communicating and the level and the cadence at which I'm communicating. So listen, if you want to call in, if you're like, hey, yes, I love that, but I think you could do it like this. Listen, I'm feeling in a very period of my time where I'm very open to being critiqued, and not in a way that feels, I feel like that we should always be kind of open being critiqued, but we should also, be very, we should also be in a state where you feel very steadfast in who you are and what you are delivering to the people. And so I have been reflecting on me, just kind of how I live my life, how I approach situations, how I approach people, how I approach the things that are going on, and trying to evaluate but also not be too hard on myself to understand, you know, am I being the best version of myself at all times? I don't think that I'm always the best version of myself. However, it's about trying. And it's also about, like, one of the things that I was thinking about, particularly as a radio show. Listen, you do a radio show, you never really know who's listening. You have no idea. And I think that for me, there's some humility in that, the idea, you never know. There could be zero people listening. I could be talking to myself, or there could be one person, which is immensely important to just speak to just one person, you know, as if you were in that conversation. I mean, it could be 100 people or maybe 1,000 people. I have no idea. But if it is just one person and it's just you listening, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, because for me, I have been doing the show since 2016. So trying to understand, you know, what do I get out of the show? Why do I keep coming back to the show? And I have come to the conclusion that it's not what I get from the show. It's what I can give to just one person or to anybody. And thinking about, I think I have been pretty reflective as I have been trying to be more intentional about that and understanding that, like, life is about what you can give to people. And not so much about what people can give to you, because what does that even mean? You know, what does that even mean? I feel like we should all strive to just kind of do a little bit more. I know I advocate for volunteering all the time in the show, or if you can't give your time, you can give your money. And if you can't give your money, you can give something. You know, you can give your spirit or your voice or your support or your energy to something. And I think that there's something so selfish. There's like a selfish energy in the world that is existing and continually gets manifested and encouraged, and you can get caught up in it, caught up in this idea of what can I take? And not only what can I take, but you have to keep taking all the time just to try to maintain. And I feel like every person, because we need everybody to do it, you know, like that, if you can just try to push back against that and not try to manifest how many things are coming to you, and just kind of focus on what you can give away. And I think that is important, because I can get so caught up, particularly in money, and just this idea of I never have enough money, right? You'll never have enough money. You never have enough money to do the things that you want. Never have enough money to do the things that you feel like you need to do, you know, like that. And so there's really people who don't have enough money, but, like, there's this idea around manifesting and kind of, you know, there's like this woo-woo spirituality about manifesting and bringing these types of energies to you in abundance and all of these things. And I find that they're so misguided into kind of understanding of, like, how can I channel this energy to capture, right? Like, so much stuff. And, you know, and I feel like, you know, focus on giving. Anyways, what I'm trying to give you today is maybe some laughs, maybe some new music. That was Tierra Whack with Snake Eyes. I love some Tierra Whack. I have a lot of new music for you today, just because there's so much new music coming out. There's so many songs that I have listened to over and over and over and over again that I'd love to share with you all. There's some funny stories that are going on that I'd love to share. And there's just so much that I kind of would like to give. But I also like to give a shout out to, listen, I don't know if you all are familiar, but this is not in Canada, but this is in Maryland, where I'm from. What happened yesterday was a tanker hit a bridge called the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Listen, when it goes up, I'm sure it'll go up under a new name, because This is Francis Scott Key. He wrote the Star Spangled Banner, and we know about the second verse, Star Spangled Banner. Anyways, a container ship hit the bridge, and the bridge just completely folded. Like, I've never seen something like that. And there have been 6 missing. There have been numerous people who have died. There was a guy, this is the most Baltimore story ever, where a guy was rescued from the water, was asked, did he want to go to the hospital, and just said, nah. And he just went home. And so it is a huge bridge. I just go take a look at it. Like, these are not things that I feel like we expect in a day to day, but what we have seen is that obviously you have to expect the unexpected. And it's insane because there's no way for you to protect yourself from that if you were on that bridge. I mean, that bridge is high as hell, like it was huge, right? And so, yeah, nothing really about it. It's just a tragedy. And it's one of those things that you just kind of don't really expect, but it happened. And, you know, you see all of these, trying to cut that out. But you see that so many people have these post-rationalizations on what they could do. But it would be like a container ship hitting the Alliance Gate Bridge. There's nothing really to do. Like, the bridge is coming down. And you just think, not only how much is that of an inconvenience for hundreds of thousands of people, but, you know, people really lost their lives on that bridge. And so I just wanted to share that because it's really hard to even kind of fathom that these everyday mistakes or everyday occurrences that happen that we deem one in a million seem to happen quite frequently, I feel. I hope everybody is found in some type of safety, but for those who are not, I hope their families are well taken care of. When we get back, listen, I got some great music for you, like I said, and I'm going to play a song for you that I just cannot stop listening to, May 9th from Krangbin, because it's my favorite band, and I learned about them first here on CITR. Listen, so CITR has numerous DJs, numerous people who come and spread the sound. And if you are able to listen to not just my show or listen to Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10, but if you listen to CITR at all, or if you even thinking about, like, what radio show should I put on? Just put on some CITR, because I promise you they introduced me to Krangbin in 2019. And I legitimately have not stopped listening to them ever since. So I hope you enjoy the song. But when we come back, we are going to talk about, listen, you know my favorite thing. We're going to talk about some scams and how they're costing the BC government costing BC residents over $16 million a year. So if you want to learn how to keep you and your family safe, you should check it out. Also, we're going to talk about a sweet, sweet man who has adopted over 300 cats, and now he finds himself a little overwhelmed. When we get back. Thank you. Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR. SCA. That was Crank Boom with May 9th. Like I said, I was introduced to them in 2019 here, right in CITR. Listen, you can find so much. There's just so much good music out there. It is impossible. What I find is that it's impossible. Like, literally impossible to hear all of the music that you'll like. And you kind of have to trust people to point you in the right direction for music that you like. And unfortunately, there's so many people here in the studio that I trust, people who used to make music here in the studio, and I still listen to them, and they still send me some. So I have some great songs coming up from some people that I'm sure you've never heard from. And I think that it will be worth it. One of the things is that, you know, you have to, really working on that, but you have to find people that you trust to point you in the right direction. I work for a marketing agency, and so sometimes, and it is becoming increasingly more corporate as the years go on, and I find myself, I don't know if you find yourself in this same position, but where, not that you give less fucks, right, but that it becomes harder to give more fucks. And it is increasingly, and it's not because of the work or because of the people or just because of work in general, but because you become so jaded by everything that goes on. So, I mean, we're talking about the tanker that hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and you feel like, well, at least myself, you feel that there are some things that are just a force of nature. And by a force of nature, sometimes that is people and institutions. And I was reading today and I was reading today and there was a quote in there that says, if the misery of the poor be caused not by the laws of nature, but by our institutions, great is our sin. And this idea that we are living in a world that we understand that the institutions are causing some of, if not most of, the harms in which we see inflicted upon the people around us. And I was also in a car with someone who was a friend of a friend talking about, you know, the most vulnerable people among us. And it was like a cartoonishly masculine trope bravado type of conversation where this individual was talking about how what he would have done to this homeless person if he would have came at him or something like that. And I felt in that moment like I responded very, very well. And however, like, that's not really the point, but the idea is that people are just walking around feeling like that and just thinking like that. And it, like I said, you know, just kind of thinking about what does that even mean for him? Anyways, let's get back to the scams because I don't want to get too deep. But I'll get back to the scams. So BCRCMP warns of romance investment scams costing the province over $16 million. So basically what happens, there's been a significant rise in scams. One, because people are broke. And like I said, people are focused on what they can take. And in this economy, like in the type of connectedness that we exist in, like we exist in a time where people are more connected than ever. You have to think about that. But like that connectedness allows for a level of exploitation that exists on scales in which we have, I mean, we've seen levels of exploitation before, like in mass scales, obviously. But like in this connectedness, we are so far removed from the individual who in which we are inflicting harm upon. I say we as in the collective, that it makes it so much easier to scam and be scammed. One, because people still exist in this space. I know some sweet people who just can't believe that people would scam them. And then I know some devious people who are always looking out for a scam. And when I say devious, I don't mean that this person's character is bad or this person's character is flawed, but just this idea that this is the route that they feel like they have to take to make it for themselves. Anyways, the police received 87 reports of romance crimes and in 2023, and it's already reaching that number in 2024 in just March, with nearly over $1 million lost. So basically, what happens is these long con scams involve grooming victims over weeks or months to nurture a relationship and enough to convince them to invest money in their fraudulent scheme. Usually, victims find each other on dating websites. Victims are found on dating websites or social media and can entice them with false profit or show fake returns of initial investment, and then they get them to dupe them. So these people are not even, like, it is not even a simple scheme. Like, people use the scheme to try to get buns. Like, people used to flex and flaunt just to try to get buns, but now they're trying to get the honey because they're not trying to get the money because the honey is just not enough. And yeah, so if you're on there looking for love, do not get scammed. Even though it would be hard, I feel like that's like a plus side of having social media and also being born in of the internet. Like I, on Saturday, was walking in, sat down, yeah, and met an individual who was on a date. And was looking for a date, and you know, it was found on the internet, and it seemed like a nice old, you know, older couple, you know, just kind of dating in, I don't know, maybe 50s or 60s. And it made me kind of remember the time when I had to teach my mom how to online date, you know, in this kind of, I don't know, it must have been a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and just trying to tell her, hey, you know, you should need to stop messaging with people who don't have profile pictures. Like, there is a level of seriousness in which you can start to take people seriously. Because I didn't want my mom to get scammed. You know, not just scammed for her money or her time, but, you know, scammed for her love, you know. And so, anyways, be on the lookout for those. And if you have friends who fall in love too easy, or you feel like they might be primed for getting got, you need to help them out. Make sure you help them stay on top of them. So basically, one of the things that I saw that touched my heart, because listen, if you got a cat and you think your cat needs to be adopted, listen, I'm in the market for a nice cat. Anyways, in BC, there was a man who, after the pandemic, Bruce Robinson is his name. If you want to go look him up, you could send him some money, because he seems like a sweet man. He when you read the story about somebody who has 340 cats, your immediate thought is, this person is sick. Like, that, at least that's maybe my thought, maybe because I'm sick. And so I always think that I can recognize somebody else who's sick, you know, but no, I failed in this one. So Bruce Robinson, he lives in I'm not going to tell you what city he lives in, but you can go look it up and you can go help him out. Basically, after he took in abandoned cats during the pandemic, but after losing his job, the cost basically became overwhelming. And he called the BC SPCA on himself because he said, he just can't do it anymore. And when they asked him how many cats he think he had, he said, it's like counting bubbles in boiling water, which I think is really funny. sometimes I find that these people who live far as hell from any type of city, like, I feel like they have the best sayings. Like, I remember I went to Mississippi and this guy was describing how flat Mississippi was. And he says, if your dog run away, you can see him for 3 days. And I don't know, something about people who live in rural areas that feel like they just have a way with sayings, and a city folk, we just say the same things over and over again. Anyways, basically he had brought in like 50 cats and they just kept multiplying and kept multiplying. He said was spending thousands monthly, sometimes going hungry himself, providing the 28 grams, kilograms of food daily and cleaning the 10 litter boxes worth of cat litter each day. Each cat had a name and a special place in his heart, and he loves everyone, all of them, and now the SPCA is working to raise funds to find suitable houses for the cats. Basically, they said that the cats are healthy and well taken care of, and he had the other day between 70 and 80 newborn kittens. So the BCSPCA is trying to help them as fast as possible, but they said that they have never seen so many cats in good condition. They seem all to be in good condition. Listen, I've watched Hoarders before, and if you never watched Hoarders, oh my God, there's an episode. I do not even want to point you to this episode, but there was a woman who had probably a similar number of cats, except for she had cats. She had cats that were crushed underneath all of her shit. Like flat cats that had been dead for years. And that's not what Brian Robinson is about, man. He's holding it down for these cats. And, you know, I'm going to have to check him out. Maybe he's got one for me. It'd be a cool story to have a cat from his story. Anyways, I do love that one, you know. You know, I like when animals take over. I like when animals take over. This is a little different than I expected, but, you know, you never know. So I got some orca news, some good news and some bad news. So basically, I don't know if you noticed, but last week there was a killer whale that was stranded after being beached off of North Vancouver Island, was pregnant, according to research. And what they are trying to do is they are trying to save the baby calf. And it's so sad when you see a beached orca. You're just like, that's not supposed to happen. That's not supposed to happen. So it's sad. Anyways, they're trying to save the baby orca, which they've named. They've given a name, which translates to brave little hunter. And so hopefully that they can get the calf back into the ocean and reunite it with its pod, and making sure that it can navigate some of those inlets in the North Vancouver Island, because they can be a little tricky for calves and boats alike. But one of the interesting things is that killer whales have been sighted in Monterey, California, and they have been hunting the largest predators in the ocean. So they have been hunting sperm whales, elephant seals, dolphins, even a turtle. And killer whales are out here living crazy. Some, you know, I mean, not living crazy, but they're out here doing it. And it is obviously you listen to the show, so it's probably not you, but understanding that all of these things are connected. And so obviously more research needed because we don't actually know shit about whales. But the idea that whales are starting to eat things that we never expected or didn't have research into previously, for me, it's pretty simple. It's like, well, they obviously can't eat what they have historically eaten, which is the salmon. And especially as they head north, and these are not resident whales. These are transient whales that go from basically up the coast and up North America, down the coast, and then down through the Pacific, and then up again. And they're traveling, you know, and they're following the fish, and we are eating all of the fish. So what are they going to do? Like, I was re-watching this TikTok trend talking about how we don't grow enough of anything to sustain the ways that we eat. So a lot of the food that we eat is fake, and it was talking about olive oil specifically, like how we don't grow enough olives to have all of the olive oil that we have. And what you find is that there are so many, like, I think about my job, right? And my job is not obscure, but it is a job that is, like, I can explain a little bit deeper about something that somebody might have questions on. And I think that it's interesting that everybody has a job. Well, not everybody has a job, but there's so many people with jobs. And so many people with these jobs that can explain something just a little bit better than the general public would understand. And that is where I find kind of TikTok be the most useful, because there's somebody who has a job that is specifically looking at what whales eat, historically have eaten, why are they eating something new. And they can tell you, and they will tell you, they'll stitch something and they'll be like, yeah, this is why. Or when it comes to olive oils, they're like, yeah, we don't have enough olives, so this is what exactly happens. And they can talk you through it, and I find that to be most useful. Anyways, basically what it comes down to we're fucked. But I am trying to not live my life as a cynic anymore. I feel like being a cynic has put me particularly in a position where you are always constantly unhappy because you only believe in the worst things. When in reality, why not believe, what if it all works out? Like, what if it all works out? And think about it like in that way, and see how far I can go. Anyways, I got another song for you. This is a new song. I'm trying to figure out which one of these do you like more. And you know what? We're gonna go with the AG Club because they have been killing it lately, and I know you'll like it.
We don't feel no more. We don't try. We don't feel no more. We don't cry. We don't feel no more. Take it easy on me. Just take it easy on me. Take it easy on me. Cause I just learned how to cry. How many summers do I gotta spend without you? My winter time's great, but you would turn blue. In the spring I spring, it's what I'm supposed to do. I'm still observing, I'm still looking, yeah, I'm still searching, I'm still, cause I just learned, oh shit, so take it easy.
Oh, it's a psycho. You look like my brother, but right now you just a rifle. Dead on a rifle. All of this pain, but nobody I can cry to. Asking what's wrong, you somebody I'm gonna lie to. Nothing, feel it's deep inside, I won't reply to. Nothing, acting like you really on my side is disgusting. Homie really thinking that we vibing, we wasn't. You really on some dumb shit. Truly I didn't wanna embarrass you in public. Then I become the subject. You are not my homie, kick that nigga out my subset. Right now I'm just so upset.
Take it easy, homie. Take it easy, homie. Just take it easy, homie. Take it easy, take it easy. Just take it easy, homie. Take it easy, homie. Why? 'Cause I just learned how to cry.
Yeah, I think we got some right there.
Back it off the main path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, so many things are fake. Online reviews are fake. Don't trust those. Listen, don't trust scams. However, you can trust Reddit. At least you could. At least you could trust Reddit until Reddit just had an IPO. And this is something that I feel like this is something that people smarter than me will say that they understand, but I don't think that they really do. Like, you ever feel like that? You ever feel like there's things that people feel like they can explain, but they can't really, but you like, you just know that under, you just know it's bullshit. Like, their explanation doesn't make any sense. And so I find that that's one of the things that keeps me, that like, I try not to be cynical, but one thing that brings me back to being a cynic is that I know some of this shit is bullshit because I have been a bullshitter before, you know? And so anyways, but like when you can bullshit to the tune of $10 billion, it's nuts. And this happens all the time in tech. So Reddit IPO'd last week for a valuation of like $9.8 billion. And Reddit is a 20-year-old company. Listen, if you don't know what Reddit is right by now, if you don't know what Reddit is by now, or if you know what Reddit is but you don't know how to use it, my suggestion is whatever you, if you ever ask a question to the internet, like if you ever go to Google and you're like, man, I really need an answer for how can I, you know, how can I fix my toilet from doing that noise, you know, you just type that in, like how do I fix my toilet, Reddit, I guarantee you there's at least 10 people who've had the same problem that you've had, and they've helped figure, they've figured it out. Not only that, but like Reddit helped me with my immigration, it helped me so many things. You just type in your problem to Reddit and it will take you exactly to where you gotta go. But they just IPO'd for, $10 billion. I think Condé Nast, like the magazine company, had invested $10 million with them in 2006. And that $10 million is now worth $1.9 billion. And I just imagine, like, that's like the kind of return that people, that Bitcoin investors got. Or probably, I mean, maybe even, obviously even more. But, like, the idea that, like, you know, if you'd invest, if you would have invested $10,000 in Reddit in 2026, well, obviously you didn't have the option to because it wasn't public and you nobody's calling you because you're like me, a non-factor when it comes to some type of financial shit. But that $10,000 would have been worth $1.9 million, so... That's the type of shit that we don't get to participate in. Anyways, Reddit has never made any money. I don't understand how you could never make any money and yet still be worth $10 billion. I personally make a lot of money comparatively to Reddit, who makes zero. And nobody's giving me a valuation. I can barely, listen, you barely keep it going just over here. You know what I mean? Anyways, as I kind of have gotten back into, what can I give? One of those things is I think about what can I give myself? And not like what can I give myself in things, but what can I give myself in love and showing love to myself. And I have come back to this years and years of fighting it. And one of the things that I find that a best gift you can give yourself is discipline. And in the sense of not totally restricting yourself, but in the sense of telling yourself no. Like, I find that I love to give myself treats, and I love to give myself snacks, and I love to YOLO. And I think that, for me, it is a good way to live my life because, just like we mentioned earlier, like, you never know what's going to happen. Like, those people on the bridge, they thought they were just driving home, and the life changed. And even if you made it out, you're just like, holy shit, what happened? Right? And so... I've been working out. Honestly, I say that. I only can say this because I feel like I've been working out at 5:30. And not that I feel like I'm better than people because I work out early in the morning, but I'm not going to say that it doesn't feel. I feel like when you wake up at 5:30 and you step outside and you know that you're about to go work out, the air feels elite, you know? Like, it feels like you're breathing elitist air. And I say that in And understanding that there are people who are sleeping outside at 5:30 and are up and awake and doing their thing, and they are not breathing, they are not feeling that same type of elitism. But for me, it is. And so I found that giving myself that that discipline to get up and work out, or getting up and right now I'm fasting for Ramadan, not because I am Muslim, but I needed to do something that felt like a personal sacrifice in solidarity with the people in Palestine. And I have found that within that sacrifice and within that denial of myself, that even though it's just a little bit, and it's literally nothing compared to what the people are going through, that for me, it is a constant reminder and a connection to not just the people in Palestine who are suffering and under a brutalist attack constantly, but also the sacrifices of people every day, the people who I love, the people who I don't know, the people who are someone and somebody to someone else, and this constant reminder and reflection upon that, I think, is important and has been a positive externality from the fasting. So if you're listening to this and you have, you know, you've thought about that, or that's something that you think about, I encourage you to fast at least one day with me and reflect and just kind of think about that. Like, think about some of the things that people are sacrificing, particularly with Palestinian struggle. It has been long connected to the Black struggle in the United States, and like many decades long struggle, decades before I have existed, and hopefully not decades after I exist, but it's looking as if it's one of those things that obviously is going to, the struggle outlives us. And so there was an incarcerated man who makes just 13 cents an hour as a janitor, and he worked 13 cents an hour. He worked 136 hours, earned $17.74, and sent what he could to the people struggling in Palestine. And he then was raised over $100,000. And it's not about the $100,000 he raised, but I think it's about people recognizing this immense sacrifice that some people have made and some people continue to make, and some people can make and will make, and what that they can give. Because like I said from the beginning, you know, we focus on what we can take, but what can we give? And we do this every Tuesday. We do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11. I'm going to leave a little early so I can catch the bus, but thank you for tuning in. Thank you for rocking with me. Listen, I got some good music all the time.